T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dan Orlovsky spent quite a few years here for the Detroit Lions. He is now a rising star at ESPN, does stuff on Get Up and some of the other shows. Actually did some color analyst work for some college football this year, some of the bowl games. Been a friend of the program. Love his work on Twitter. That's where a lot of people discovered that this guy knows how to break down video and plays.
Turned it into a job.
And he joined us now. How you doing, Danny?
What's going on? How are you, bub?
Good, thank you. Happy New Year. Let's start with your former team, the Detroit Lions, ending the season 6-10. Obviously, not the 9-7 that they were allegedly better than when Bob Quinn made the coaching change. How would you describe this season and why it went the way it went?
Well, me from afar, it was frustrating to watch. Obviously, still somewhat tied with relationships there. Excuse me, and hoping for better. You know, there's the reality of the NFL and really at any level, that when you go through some injuries and you lose some players or you make a move and take a player off your team, essentially, you're going to struggle to have the same kind of production, struggle to have the same kind of success. But they went through some of that. They dealt with some injuries. And obviously you moved on from Golden and had – I think the most glaring thing is you have to be honest and go, do we match up talent-wise with everybody that we're playing, or more than the teams that we're playing? And I don't know if you could say that, if you could be honest about that roster and go, yeah, we go in to a game 1-53 more talented than other guys. And I think that showed itself this year, that you are only as good. You can only be so good when you are a little behind, and in some cases a lot behind, when it comes to the talent that you're playing against.
Well, the most important position of those 53 is obviously the quarterback, and we know your relationship with Matthew Stafford. You've defended him a lot in the past because, you know, people have been taking shots at him. This season, though, Dan, you have to admit that Matthew Stafford probably had his worst year as a Detroit Lion. Why do you think he regressed so much? Because, without breaking it down like you do and will, he was bad this season.
Yeah, I'm not gonna debate or kind of disagree. Matthew's year was not to the year that the expectations are, the standard that he has set. I don't know if you can pinpoint it on a single thing. When you watch really good quarterback play and great quarterback play, which, you know, for many years Matthew has displayed, it's a lot of different things. It's having the people around him. It's really good play calling. It's protection. It's his ability to throw the ball downfield. It's being accurate, making, you know, secondary reaction throws. It's all those variables that go into good quarterback play, to really good quarterback play. And that just kind of was the story just reversed this year. The play calling was head-scratching. It seemed to handcuff him a little bit. The talent and the support level around him wasn't very good. Dealt with some injuries. Did it push the ball downfield enough? Was asked to do a lot on, you know, so it, you're looking at all those variables, and none of them were good enough at that spot. And Matthew will be the first to tell you. He knows that. And so part of the reason why I defend Matthew is, you don't go from being really good to really bad. It just doesn't happen overnight when you have his kind of work ethic. And so, yes, his season wasn't up to what the expectation level was, but it doesn't mean he all of a sudden is not good anymore. And that's my reason, is like, we've got to look at this in totality. You have to be honest. I know it's hard for fans at times, and some people might say it's hard for me because he's my friend, but it's hard for fans at times to look at the totality of it and be honest about it and go, okay, watch the tape. One of the things that I say about the Bears defense this year is that everything is hard on the quarterback. You never see easy completions when the Bears are playing somebody. Watch the tape of the Lions offense. There's never any easier hard because of scheme and because of lack of, you know, personnel or weapons. There's nothing easy. And the easy narrative is to say, well, he's so great and he's paid so much money that everybody around him should become better. That is such a bunch of baloney. Like, it's a bunch, like, find me the quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers can't play anymore. No, he doesn't have any weapons around you, guys. So that's my thing, is like, you've got to be able to be honestly looking at this in totality. Is Matthew Stafford not good anymore, or do they need to upgrade the people that are around him weapons-wise? I believe it's the latter.
Hey, Dan, you talk about totality, and I kind of feel like you're letting Stafford off the hook here, because it's been 10 years, and it's always an excuse. It's always a defense. Doesn't have an offensive line. Doesn't have a running game. Doesn't have a good receiver. Got rid of the good receiver. Like, at some point, don't you think it's on number nine? This is a decade of not being able to win. And he's had chances. 2013, they had a good line, and Stafford, last five games, couldn't get the job done. 2014, in the playoff game, they scored 6 points in the last three quarters. This year, it's been on Stafford at least four or five games. Like, isn't there a time, and I think this is why people get frustrated and why the fan base is turned on him, isn't there a time when you got to say, this is on number nine?
Well, my quick answer is going to be no, and this is why I'll say that. I understand it's been 10 years. 2009, 2010 are dead, right? I mean,
Yeah. You're
coming off of a brutal year. You're still in a somewhat of rebuilding mode, and he's hurt. 2011, what did he do? Light the world on fire. Okay, we found our guy. 2012 has an okay year, right? Just an okay year. Not the year that you wanted to respond off of the 2011 year. And doesn't play as good. 2013 is the year that kind of fall apart at the end, right? They don't play well at the end, but dealt with some injuries. 2014, really solid year, go to the playoffs with a good football team and catch a bad break against Dallas, a baloney call, however you want to call it.
Yeah, but he still had a chance to win it at the end of that game. But Dan,
make him a bad player. But he's on the road against a good football team.
Sure, but
he's on the but here's the thing, he's on the road against a good football team, and he doesn't get it done on fourth and four because the offensive line gets collapsed. Like, that's not on the quarterback. 2015, lights the world on fire. 2016, has a good year. Like, 2017, year.
2016, they were up two games with three to play, and Stafford was awful in the last three games against the Giants, the Cowboys. I mean, Dan, I understand he's your friend,
when he played with a middle finger that was in shambles.
Again, always the excuses. Like,
those are realities.
Oh, come
those
on.
Are realities.
But, Dan, let me ask you this. And I'll admit, I've been tough on Stafford, and maybe I'm wrong here, but do you believe the fans of Detroit, and you know as well as anybody else, you played here, you know how tough it is for these fans, and they've been given nothing. Don't you think the fans of Detroit have, the right, and are, when they blame Stafford?
No doubt. Absolutely. I'm telling you guys, and I love having this conversation, and I love how passionate you guys are about it. That's what I tell people all the time. My favorite place to play, Detroit. Why? Oh, man. Because the people are awesome. And I was hated in that area. I was hated. But as you get removed from it, you appreciate the people. You appreciate the fans. So can I sit here and tell you that, yes, they have the right? Absolutely. And should they want more? Absolutely. I'm just telling you, the grass ain't greener. And I'm just telling you that we can sit here and nitpick the quarterback, and maybe in moments you wish he was a little bit better. Sure. I do believe it's at this point, and I'm surprised I say this. I do believe it's at this point that if the Lions organizationally wanted to go in a different direction, then they could do that. Then that is their right to do. 5 years ago, I would have said you're nuts, and I still think it's outlandish. But if they want to do that, they want to do that. I'm just telling you, watch tape in the big picture and go, we've got not holes or issues on our team, but we've got things that we need to upgrade, and very, very far down the list is quarterback.
I would agree with you before the season, but he had an awful season this year. You put Matthew Stafford on the Rams, are they as good as they are right now?
Oh, yeah. Matthew Stafford on the Rams?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be easily in the top two seeds in the NFC. You put Matthew Stafford on the Bears, they're as good. You put Matthew Stafford on the Saints, they're as good. I mean, God,
Matthew Stafford as good as Drew Brees?
No, I take Drew Brees.
I didn't say that. What I said was, I mean, and if you look at the numbers this year, they're not that different. Brees and Stafford picks are up different, but other than that, not that different. I'm not saying Matthew Stafford's as good as Drew Brees. What I'm saying is those teams, look at the surrounding picture. Look at the surrounding help on those teams. It's not close. It's not even in the same category. It's not even in the same. The Rams lost one of their best players and still did not struggle. They had a two-week stretch where teams started playing them different and did not struggle. The Lions lost their best player offensively or one of their best players, and it was like, whoa. So, listen, I love getting this into this conversation. I appreciate it. I know that everyone thinks that I have a slight bias or a great bias because he's my friend. and maybe there is a rose-colored glass to it, yes, but it's also a bias because I've been in the room with them. That's also a bias because I've seen him work.
Dan,
it's also a bias because I've seen the stuff that he's done.
Dan, real quick, and you mentioned being in the room, and you are his buddy. One of the big things about Stafford, the criticism, is he doesn't show enough emotion, right? He's at the podium. He doesn't say anything, and he doesn't say anything to the local media. Can you tell us what kind of leader he is? Like, does this guy yell at people?
Does he get pissed off?
Yeah,
throw
does
things?
He tip over water coolers? Like does Matthew Stafford go berserk? And we never see it, so we truly wonder.
No, I don't know if he goes berserk, but he's a fantastic leader. He says stuff when he needs to say stuff. He jumps people when he needs to jump people. There's different forms of leadership. I also don't see Drew Brees kicking over coolers or, you know, the guys that we consider to be great quarterbacks. I mean, Brady gets into it on the sideline sometimes, but like, I don't see those guys, most guys flipping out. He's a fantastic leader. That's the last thing I ever question about him. You know, I think the reality is, understanding that the role that he's been put in, you've got to be able to handle the ups and the downs. And this, sometimes that comes off as plateaued or monotone or dry or whatever, but you've got to have that ability. I always say one of his greatest strengths is his ability to handle the suck and his ability to handle the success. Let me say this, people can question what they want about his. Do not question his leadership. Do not question his heart. Do not question his care. I also know this, guys, and we got to be honest about it too, and you guys hopefully can be as well. He's been there for 10 years, and there's probably been, for the great majority of that 10 years, people who have disliked him, or it's been a tougher place to play. It has.
Well, you know, people want to love him. They really do, and I've always been a big fan. I just think this year he basically sucked. One name, who should be the offensive coordinator of this football team?
I'm going to give you two. I'd really look hard at Steve Sarkisian, or I'd look hard at Todd Monken from Tampa Bay. Both those guys. Sark had a really good year. People can say what they want. Again, watch tape. There's flaws. Certainly that team went through a lot, covered up a lot of injuries and bad offensive line play, but I really think that it would be a good fit. And Monken just has a nice feel of like a little college-y, enough college-y, but understanding NFL and that world and how they are different and have to be different. Those would be two that I'd kind of look hard at.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate it. Happy New Year. Always great talking to you.
Appreciate it, guys.
All right. That's Dan Orlovsky. By the way, Todd Monken is the OC for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 97-1 the ticket.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.